Give thanks to his holy name. For his name. second lesson this morning is from the fifth chapter of Revelation. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with a full voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Here ends the reading.
They said to him, We will go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, you have no sheep, have you? And they answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net in the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And so they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, put on some clothes for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. So they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they got ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you wherever you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, Follow me. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I'd like to invite any children who are here to come up and join me for a children's message.
Thank you. I love cars.
Did you bring cars? Good. Oh. She was asleep in the car?
Yeah.
She looks awake now.
Yeah, she did go.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Well, we'll let them come up here. She's looking, we're gonna ready to go. Are you trying to pick up what I have in my lap here?
Yes.
There you go.
He sits up very good.
She does sit up pretty good. I think Mom will sit by her though to help her out, huh? What do you think?
Yeah.
That's good. So I have a question for you, especially all my big kids, all my big boys. Oh, there's Genesee. There we go. All my big kids, I have a question. Reagan might not quite understand this yet, but she'll just sit along. That'll be fine. So tell me, do you ever do something wrong?
Yes.
Yes? Do you, Jack? You didn't answer. Oh, you did say yes? Okay, okay, good. You do something wrong? Who tells you that you do something wrong? Your parents tell you? Your teacher? Grandma, Grandpa? Liam, how about you? How do you
God
tells you to do that when you've done something wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you ever kind of know in here, in your heart, when you do something wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah? And how do you make it up? How do you make it up? What do? You correct yourself? What if you've hurt somebody who you love? What do you? You rephrase yourself. You maybe say something special to them. You say, "I'm
sorry."
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, like for your friends.
Like your friends, if you say, "I'm sorry," maybe you hurt them. Yeah. And then what do they say back to you? They say, "I forgive you."
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's one of the things I'm going to be talking a little bit today is about how we forgive each other. Now, how do we know that God forgives us? We don't know. Yeah. Can we hear God say, "I forgive you" back?
No.
But by remembering the cross, by what? By thinking, maybe by feeling it, by our brain. What's that?
Heart.
By our heart. Yeah, exactly. All of these ways, you know that you're forgiven, right? Even though maybe we can't hear God, maybe in our prayers we can hear God, but we know that we're forgiven. And we're forgiven because we are a child of God. Well, I want to show you something here. Each of you is going to get a very special
paper
superstar certificate. It says this is awarded to, it's got a blank, for what? What are you getting a special award for? Read it for me, Genesee. For being a child of God. Did you have to work at that?
No.
God said, "You're mine, and you're 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 mine. And in your baptism, you are all my children." And so we get to be forgiven and loved children of God. But this one doesn't have any names on it. So let me see.
I can write my name.
Well, guess what? You don't need to write your name because
what?
Whose name is there?
Mine.
I think I can give that one to you. Let's see. Whose name is this?
Mine.
I think I can give that one to you. Let's see who else I have here. Oh, who's this? Yeah. I don't think. Oh. Oh my gosh. That's it. That's all I have. I made one for Reagan too. Yes. So we are all. Should we make one for? For Lisa too. Since Mama Lisa's up here. Yes. Oh, Lisa gets one too. See, parents, you get stuff. You come up here too. Yeah. So let's. Huh? Oh, and should we make one for me?
Yeah.
Well, I get. That's a good idea. I'll get one too because I remember that I am a dish. Say that again. I've been baptized, so I'm a child of God, and I need to remember that too. That's a very good idea.
Thank you. I remember when I was baptized. That's a very long time ago.
You were pretty little. Have you seen pictures of it? Lots of pictures on your mom's phone. Well, good. Thank you all for coming up, and you can take your certificate back with you so you can remember that you are a child of God.
Reagan got flower too.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day that we remember your resurrection, remember your appearance before your disciples, we pray that in our hearts and in our minds and in our actions, we would continually remember that we are your forgiven people. In your name we pray. Amen. So I love this story of when Jesus appears to his disciples, especially appeared before Simon Peter, one of his disciples. And I love it so much that even though it wasn't one of our assigned texts, a few months ago I used it as one of our texts because, one, I forgot that it was coming up after Easter, so I'd have to preach on it again. But secondly, because I was talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the one about love. It's often used in weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is, love is, love is. And I used this text because it has that portion at the very end where Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And he replies, "Yes, I love you." And three times he says, "Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you." And I was in a meeting on earlier this week, on Tuesday, and I'm a pastor, so all of our meetings begin with Bible study. And so we were doing a Bible study on this text, and somebody said, "I wonder if the three times that Peter says, 'Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. You know that I love you,' is a response to the three times that Peter betrayed Jesus. Maybe this was Peter's way of trying to say, 'I'm sorry,' trying to make up for the way that he had betrayed his Lord. And for the first time in this story that I love so much, I began to think, what if this story that I've always thought about love is also really about forgiveness? And my mind was blown, not that it was about forgiveness. I mean, Jesus talks about forgiveness all the time. But as you may have heard me say at the very beginning, our women's retreat theme is found, forgiven, and freed. And when Vicar Maria and I began working on this several months ago, I said, you know, I really want to do something about forgiveness for this retreat. I want it to be steeped in and based on forgiveness. And she said, well, I like that, but let's flesh it out. I don't know if we can spend 3 days talking about our sins and forgiveness. And I said, oh, yes, we can. But I was smart enough to listen to her. And we expanded it to include what it means to be found, talking about our identities in Christ, and then what it means to be free, to be sent out. But yesterday was all about being forgiven and forgiveness. And it just so happens that today's lesson is also all about forgiveness. And at a retreat yesterday, we dealt a lot with what it means to be forgiven by God and what it means to be forgiven by humans. Because they're different. They are fundamentally different. I think as Christians, as people who are Christ followers, we strive to emulate what Christ has done for us. We strive to be like Jesus, right? Instead of, I want to be like Mike, it's I want to be like Jesus. And that's not a bad thing. But we also need to remember, we're not God. Jesus was fully human and fully God. And so the kind of forgiveness that Jesus can give to us is a beautiful, an all-powerful thing. It's something we can strive for, but it's also never something we can fully get to. We talked about that a lot yesterday, about the guilt that sometimes we as people hold on to, and we say, well, Jesus says I'm supposed to forgive, and I guess I'm supposed to forgive like Jesus, but I'm really mad at that person. And now I feel guilty for being mad and not being like Jesus. And then we end up on this continual loop and cycle. We talked a lot about human forgiveness, about what that looks like, about the forgiveness that we give and show to other people, about the forgiveness that we receive from other people, and the forgiveness that we ask for. It led into a great conversation, the great series of conversations that had some amazing questions that maybe you have thought of before, maybe you haven't, but when you're talking about forgiveness amongst humans, they're good things to remember. Questions such as, how do you forgive someone who hasn't apologized? How do you forgive someone who is not repentant? Can you forgive somebody who is not sorry? Are there some people that you just can't forgive? Are there some people you shouldn't forgive? Can we forgive but not forget? Does true forgiveness only come once we forget? Should we forgive but hold on to that memory? What constitutes forgiveness? Is it just saying the words? Is it an emotional letting go? Is it removing the barrier, repairing the relationship, building a new relationship? Does forgiveness have to include the one who hurt you? Or is forgiveness internal? If you just heard me list that whole list of questions and thought to yourself, boy, there's somebody who I know who really needs that list, I'll give it to you. But let me tell you something. If that's what you are thinking, you are the one who needs the list. We talked a lot yesterday about vindication. Because everybody has somebody who has hurt them. And we say, I know I'm going to forgive them eventually, but it feels really good when they get their comeuppance. I feel really vindicated when something bad happens to them. I'll forgive them, but only after they make it up to me, or only after they suffer some, or only when they apologize, or only when they prove they are repentant. But if you are starting from that place, you're not ready to forgive. You're just ready to be right. This is something I deal with when families or couples or individuals come to me and talk about some way that somebody else has hurt them. And they say, but it's just not, I know that I'm right in this argument. And so often I have to ask the question. I say, yeah, but tell me this. Do you want to be in a relationship or do you want to be right? And I ask that question honestly quite a few times because it makes people think. They say, well, I want to have a relationship with my estranged sister, but she is the one in the wrong. And I say, okay, do you want to be in a relationship or do you want to be right? Because if you just want to be right, I can validate you. Absolutely, she screwed up. She hurt you. You are absolutely right. But if what you really want is to be in relationship, that is much harder. Because it's going to take the profound act of true forgiveness. And forgiveness is truly a profound act. Because we shouldn't act that way. Forgiveness isn't fair. Forgiveness isn't fair at all. It's saying you screwed up, and instead of getting what you deserve, I give you grace. And when we do that, we step into the model of Christ. And that's a hard thing, because as people, we strive to emulate Christ, but we never quite get there. All of those questions about how we forgive other people, when we really step into that forgiveness, they don't matter. Because when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he didn't look down at those soldiers who were gathered there and say, are you really sorry? From the cross, he hung there and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. In the midst of his pain, Jesus forgave them, and he forgave us. But when someone has hurt you, when you are sitting in the middle of real and visceral pain, are you going to be able to say, I forgive you? I know I'm not. I know I have not. And that's when we begin to wonder. if I'm not able to forgive in all that I've done and in all the ways I've hurt God and my neighbor, is the Father even able to forgive me? And when we asked that question at our retreat, it brought us around to what I suspect is one of the hardest parts when we talk about forgiveness. Are you able to forgive yourself? When you have hurt someone, when you have asked for and received forgiveness, have you ever then walked on eggshells? Just in case you might hurt them again, just in case they haven't really forgiven you, just in case they let you make it up to them. I think that's where Peter was in our story. Earlier this week when someone said, I wonder if this story is really about forgiveness, I began to look at Peter differently. He's in the boat with all the fish, and all of a sudden he sees it's Jesus. He throws on clothes and jumps in the water and starts running through the water to try and get to him, to prove to him, I'm coming, Jesus. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm really loyal to me. Forget what I did before. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And when Jesus asked him, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Please, please forgive me. He is so eager to make it up to Jesus. But what he doesn't realize is that Jesus Christ doesn't hold it over his head. He knew that Peter would betray him. He saw that Peter did betray him. And he didn't make him work for that forgiveness. He granted it to him. He was eager to forgive him. And even said, Simon Peter, on you I will build my church. He made him the rock of his church. Does it sound like Jesus would do that to somebody whom he didn't trust, whom he had not forgiven? And that's what's different about the way that Jesus forgives us. We may ask questions about how we stand with others and how we can forgive one another when wrong. We can spend a whole day wondering, but in coming before the Lord, we need never doubt God's ability to love us, to redeem us, to forgive us. Because it wasn't just Jesus who died on that cross, but the sins of humanity died with him. And 3 days later, it wasn't just Jesus who rose to new life, but so did we. In our baptism, we are called children of God. And we are made new people of God, who are found, who are forgiven, and who are free. Amen.